Hello, this is Jackie with Panama Relocation Tours. Thank you so much for calling in on this Saturday. It's rainy here in Boquete, Panama, but it's the rainy season, so we have to expect that in the late afternoon. I think it started raining about 3 o'clock, but everything is so lush and green and beautiful, it's okay. So before we get started with this Q&A call with your questions and my answers, I've got a couple of different announcements to make. One of them, in case you didn't see the post that I put up on Facebook, because I couldn't post on Facebook for a while, they put me in Facebook jail and said I couldn't use my Panama Relocation Tour account because I posted a picture of an N95 mask, and heaven forbid that you do that. And I said they're available in Panama, and I got in trouble for doing that. But I finally got back in, and I posted a new announcement today. It's a decree that just came out from Panama on what the rules are going to be for people coming into the country. And this is anybody coming into the country. They have to show when they walk into Panama, and probably when they get on the airplane as well, but at least when you come into Panama, you have to show a negative COVID PCR test or an antigen test that's not more than 96 hours old, or that's 4 days old. So that has to be presented when you come into Panama. In this new decree, there's no mention at all that you're going to have to do any kind of a quarantine. When you come into Panama, you just have to do the negative COVID test when you come in. Panama is still scheduled to open up on October the 12th. I know many of you on the call, I recognize the names. You've already bought your tickets, and you're going to be here on October the 13th or the 14th or shortly after the borders open up. So it's good that there's new rules and that you don't have to quarantine. So what does that mean for the Panama Relocation Tours? The thing that was holding us up on starting doing the tours again is if that 14-day quarantine was required, then there's no way we could do any Panama Relocation Tours. So with the COVID test, all that's required, we could start doing tours again. However, yesterday and today, I've been talking to some of the restaurants and some of the hotels that we go to during the tour, and we have a long list of them. We don't always go to the same ones, but some of the hotels are not going to open in October the 12th, just because the borders are open October the 12th. One of the things they're concerned about, and something I'm concerned about as well, is right now, Panama is still getting 600, 700, 800 new cases every single day of the virus. And what we're concerned about is if they open up the borders and let people come in, even if they have a COVID test, what if all of a sudden the number of new cases jumps up, if it spikes up? Panama has already said if that happens, they'll shut down the borders again. So, one of the hotels, or two of the hotels that I talked to, they said they just want to wait until about 2 weeks after, maybe starting the 1st of November is when they would open up. The problem with the hotels is they have a lot of employees, and they have a contract with their employees. Because of the pandemic, they've been able to suspend the contract with those employees so they don't have to keep paying them, at least not full wages, while they're not working. But if they rehire all those employees and then Panama shuts down the borders again, it would be months before they could suspend their contracts again, and then they might need to open them up again. So the problem with the hotels and restaurants is all the employees that they have and the contracts that when they get them coming back, they have to keep paying them, even if perhaps they're not getting very much business at all. So many of the hotels are having a wait-and-see attitude, and we obviously cannot do a tour the middle of October because you'd have to come in before you'd even be allowed to come into the country. So we haven't made a decision yet on when we're going to start doing tours, but as soon as all of that is figured out with hotels, restaurants, transportation, and everything else, then we will certainly let you know. We are going to start doing private tours once we do tours, and we may do private tours before we do the group tours. We haven't had a little powwow at Panama Relocation Tours and talked about it and discussed what our game plan's going to be yet. But as soon as we know more details, then we're certainly going to let you know. I know some of you that are on the call, you've already been on a Panama Relocation Tour. You've already toured the country. You've spent extra time in the country. You know you're ready to move here, and you have your paperwork ready to get a visa. For those people, I think coming in the middle of October will be just fine if you're planning to move to Panama. But honestly, if you're coming as a tourist, or if you're coming to just check out the country, I can tell you that you would have a more pleasant experience if you wait until December. And the reason I say that is October and November are two rainiest months. Typically, we're going to start out the day with blue skies and sunshine, but then by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's like the Pacific Ocean just dumps on the whole country of Panama. We get a lot of rain. So if you're coming here as a tourist and you want to spend as much time visiting and seeing Panama as possible, you might want to wait until December when our rainy season goes away. If that's the only time you can come in is October, November, bring a raincoat with you, bring an umbrella with you, and know that probably starting at 2 o'clock every day, you're going to have a substantial amount of rain. So you need to plan and schedule accordingly. The other significant change is I've been in communication throughout the whole pandemic. I've been in communication with the hotels that we work with, the restaurants we go with, the property managers and real estate agents that we work with. And I had a call yesterday with one of the real estate companies that we work with, one of the best real estate companies in all of Panama. And there's some significant new rules and changes in condo complexes. Some of the condo complexes around Coronado, San Carlos, Gorgona, and places like that, they used to allow Airbnbs that you could just rent it for one or two nights and then move on and go someplace else. Many, actually all of the condo complexes now have a 1 month minimum. Some have a 3 month minimum, and some have a 1 year minimum on when you can rent it. So I'm working on, and I've had to keep changing and changing this self-guided tour that I'm working on based on new rules as they keep coming out. I think it's all finished, and then I hear about this new rule that certain places that we would have recommended that you could get an Airbnb and stay for two or three nights, that's no longer possible. They have a three-month minimum now. So I'm making modifications to this self-guided tour, which is going to be part of the online Panama Relocation Guide. The online Panama Relocation Guide has exact same information that you would get on a Panama Relocation Tour. You get all of our contacts for reliable immigration attorneys, for honest real estate agents, but with the self-guided tour that's going to be part of it, it also is a way that you could just, if you knew you wanted to live in Coronado, you knew you wanted to live in Boquete or Las Tablas, or each one of those different areas, we have information about where to stay, who to contact to show you some rentals, where's the best grocery stores, and a variety of other things that you might want to check out if you do your own self-guided tour. With the pandemic, I know some of you may not want to get on a bus with 12 other people. So that's why we're offering the private tours, because a private tour would just be the driver and you, or you and your spouse, but not more than two, three people at the most, all from the same family. So with the private tours, it gives you the chance to see a variety of different areas in Panama without being on the group tour. And with the online guide, you get all the information that you need to relocate to Panama in a seamless, smooth way without any hiccups or problems. I'm also part of the online Panama Relocation Guide. You get access to our private forum, and I know some of the people that are on this call already have access to that. And I can tell you it's going to be a wealth of information. And anytime you have a question about anything, you're going to have me and other people that already live in Panama be right there to answer questions about where to go to get things, where do you get your hair cut, how do you get this done, how do you get that done. So you'll have instant access to that when you get the online Panama Relocation Guide, and that will also help make your relocation before, during, and after you get to Panama. It'll make it much, much easier. So those are the big announcements that I had about the new requirement that only a COVID test is required 96 hours before, no quarantine. If you're just planning to come to visit Panama, it would be you'd have a better time if you waited until December, because there's going to be a lot of rain in October and November. And then the other thing is the minimum requirements of some of the different rental places. You can't do just an Airbnb short-term rental anymore. And Panama did pass a law not long ago that for Airbnbs, they had to be a 45-day minimum. And there was but a lot of people ignore that rule and they'll rent it out for just 1 day or 2 days. But I think Panama is going to get much more strict about it, and require that 45-day minimum. And then some of the buildings themselves are going to have 3 month or 1 year minimums. So things are changing, always changing, and I try to keep you updated on what's going on as much as possible to keep you informed so that you have an easy relocation to Panama. So those are the main announcements that I had and a recap of them, and now I'm going to go on with our questions. First question is David. Hi, David. How are you doing today?
Good, Jackie. So good to hear your voices, and thank you so much for the information. I look forward to it, and I always put an alarm on my phone at 5:45, which is Eastern Standard Time, to be ready for our call.
Well,
I'm
thanks. So thanks for being a regular. You're here every Saturday.
Well, I try not to only be here every Saturday, but the first one to call in.
There you go. Okay.
I'm really excited about the Panama relocation tour, and I'm glad things are opening up. And I just want to get a good feel of what can I expect, the feel of Panama, the culture, and the places we will be visiting. I mean, I know it's kind of a hard question to answer, but if you were talking to yourself, what would you tell yourself?
So one of the things about a Panama relocation tour is the tour is focused on people that are planning to move here. When people come to Panama, there's two different sets of glasses or sunglasses they can wear. Some people come with sunglasses that I'm a tourist. I want to see the Panama Canal. I want to go to the Biodiversity Museum. I want to go hiking in a rainforest. I'd love to see a sloth. All these touristy things. That is not what Panama Relocation Tours is. Panama Relocation Tours, while all those things are very interesting to see, for sure, it's things that you can see after you've moved to Panama or maybe on a separate trip. The whole focus of Panama Relocation Tours is educating you on the things that you need to know to successfully move to Panama, relocate to Panama, and to not get taken advantage of, to avoid mistakes, to understand the characteristics of each one of the different areas that we visit, the pros, the cons, the price points of the different areas that we visit, to help you narrow down the places that you would most likely want to live. I can't tell you how many times that people have come on the tour, and before we ever get on that bus and head out of Panama City, they say, oh, I want to live by the beach, I want to live by the beach. And then we spend a couple days at the beach, and they say, this is just too dang hot. I think I want to live in the mountains now. Or people that they said, I want to live in Boquete, I've got to live everything I've read, all the videos I've seen, I want to live in Boquete. Then they get to Boquete, and they say, this is a little bit too chilly for me. It's beautiful, but it's too cold. Maybe I need to go to a lower elevation. So during the tour, we try to expose you to a variety of different microclimates, the warm climates, the cooler climates, the things in the middle, and to show you, even within a 15-minute time frame, how it can go from 75 degrees to 85 degrees by just changing your elevation. So that's what the tours are all about, is educating you about what it's really like to live here.
And that's the reason why you suggest 6 to 12 months, so that people can come and get the different places within Panama. And within 6 to 12 months, they'll know, maybe I don't like it here. Let me try another 6 to 12 months. And like if I was on the beach, go to Boquete, I'll try that. And so basically, through all your expertise, and all the people who's been through your tours, you sort of have cracked the code. You basically have told people what they need to do. And the only thing they need to do is just follow your recommendation. They should be good. I mean, that's wonderful.
Well, and it's not just the people that have come on the tour, but it's also the hundreds and hundreds of people I've met that didn't come on the tour, and I know what mistakes they made. And so by knowing that information, I can pass it on to you to help you avoid making that very same mistake. Like, don't come down here and buy real estate as soon as you get here. Some people come and they say, oh, my gosh, this is beautiful and the price is incredible. But is it really? They don't know. It might look real cheap compared to if you're coming from California, but it might be way too much for a price here in Panama. You really don't know what the right price is or the right area is or the characteristics of a microclimate until you've experienced the area for a little while. So just rent. Don't rush into buying anything. It's better to just rent. Real estate agents in Panama absolutely hate me for saying that. I've even had people make bad comments on the reviews on my Facebook page for Panama Relocation Tours. And because they don't like that I tell people not to come down here and buy. They said, well, that's not right for everybody. Some people just need to come down here and buy right away. My opinion, nobody should come down here and buy right away. And I'm not trying to sell you real estate. I'm trying to keep everybody safe.
And that's the thing that I do appreciate your calls and what you do is you look out as if I'm a family member.
Exactly, you know. And all of you are. And once you come on a Panama Relocation Tour, or once you get the online guide, you are in the Panama Relocation Tour family, and we all take care of each other.
All right, and thank you so much.
Thank you, David. Next caller is Audrey. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Jackie. This is my second time calling in, and I've been doing some reading, and I haven't seen many comments about the snakes and the bugs, and I live in Michigan, and we don't really have those kind of problems, and I just wondered if that's much of a problem in Boquete, and if there's any, like, extermination services that people could access if they were in a condo down there.
Well, if you're in a condo, you're not going to have that problem anyway. But, yes, there are exterminator services that will come out, and they'll spray the inside of your house and the outside of your house, and they have pet-friendly products that they use for people that have pets. If you're in a higher elevation, like Boquete, there's going to be less snakes and less bugs than there is if you're at a lower elevation. So it just depends on where you're living.
Okay.
Even 15 minutes south of Boquete, they're going to have more snakes and more bugs than they would if you were in Bajo Boquete or in some of the other areas in Boquete.
Yeah, I just wondered if maybe, you know, over the last number of years, any of your clients have experienced anything significant, if it was a concern.
No.
Oh.
No one has. Okay.
Okay, that pretty much answers my question. There's a lot of things I like about Panama, but, you know, I wouldn't want to be having to deal with that if I were in a condo in Boquete.
There you go. Well, you won't, in a condo, you won't have to worry about it anyway. You might get a little spider every once in a while. You're probably going to get some geckos once in a while, but not to worry about those. But if you have an exterminator, you can even keep those away.
Oh, okay. That answers my question. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and thanks for calling in today. Our next caller is area code 910. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Chuck. I got a quick question. I was watching a documentary last night on the digging of the Panama Canal, and, of course, this is back in 1905, but they said that thousands of people had died from malaria and yellow fever. Do we need to worry about malaria as far as do we need to get immunizations or anything like that? We'll be coming down in mid-October.
Yeah, if you look on the CDC website, it does have recommended vaccines that you take, I can tell you that 99.9% of the people that move to Panama, they do not get any vaccines at all. Keep in mind that when they were building the Panama Canal, it was a jungle.
Right.
It was big snakes, big spiders. It was a jungle,
right.
just like at the dairy. It's not a jungle anymore. So if you were going to move to jungle location, like the dairy and jungle or somewhere it was very jungly, then you might consider getting some of those vaccines. But if you're going to move to a town like, you know, Coronado or Boquete or Vulcan or Los Tablas, I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay, and since you just happened to mention Boquete, we're talking about moving there. When we talk to a real estate agent, where they're going to make sure that they steer us away from any bad areas as far as crime goes when we're renting?
We don't have any bad crime, but we do have some. Yeah, there's just not that doesn't. Yeah, there we have very 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 little crime.
Okay, that's all I needed to know. Thank you very much.
Okay. Pat, go right ahead.
Hi, so glad you're out of jail.
I know.
I was a little concerned at first. You answered most of my questions I had about coming in October, November, about the rules, et cetera, and the testing. I did have a concern because my daughter brought it up, too, about once everyone starts coming, October, November, December, if there would be a spike in the cases and what would happen if that occurred.
Panama's already said if there's a spike in cases, they'll shut the country down again. So that's why we have to be very careful and saying, okay, we're going to start tours. And, you know, we send off $10,000 to a hotel and we pay our driver a bunch of money for all kinds of different things. We start paying for everything in advance because we have to pay for restaurants and transportation and hotels. Then they shut the country down and nobody can come. So that's why we have to be super careful about when we actually start doing tours again. The private tours, there's less upfront expense for us to do those, so perhaps we can start doing some private tours in October, late October and November, and maybe do the group tours in December. We might be able to start doing group tours the end of October. I need more information from the hotels, and I need more information from the restaurants. Some of the restaurants we go to, they've been shut down since March. They just decided it was safe to keep it shut down.
Yes, okay. I know you had said once there were like six stages of opening, and at that time you were at stage three. So if we come before December, are you going to be at stage six, do you believe, where most of the stores are going to be open?
The retail, they put out a new schedule, which I published on my website. It says breaking news. It's in bright yellow with red letters. It says breaking news, and they have a new schedule now. It's not the stage six. September 7th, construction and certain things are going to open up. Restaurants, you can go in to eat again. Maybe that was September 14th. But they have a new schedule on when things are going to open up. But even on October the 12th, certain things will not be open. But it's things you wouldn't probably want to do anyway, like big sporting events. That won't be open. Some movie theaters won't be open. Some things that would have large groups, they're not going to be open just yet.
Okay. What's going to be the difference, do you believe, in the rental prices around Boquete then, before December, and then if we wait a couple of months and come maybe
rental
December or January?
Rental prices are coming down, down, down all over the country, so you don't have to worry about rental prices going up. A lot of these landlords have had their house vacant for quite some time, and they're anxious to get it rented, and I've seen things that used to be $1,500, now they're $950 a month, or things that were $900 a month are now $750 a month. So rental prices are coming down, and I think they'll continue to come down through the end of the year, probably into the early part of next year. Thanks for your call, Pat. Next caller is area code 403. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. It's Ted and Doris in Alberta, Canada again.
Thanks for calling in.
We are wondering about, we've heard online several times that when you pay your rent down there, you can just deposit it directly to the owner's bank account. Is that correct?
Yeah, almost always the landlord is going to give you their bank account information. They'll say, I'm with Global Bank, and here's my account number. And so if you have a Panama bank account, you can just move money from your bank account to their bank account. It takes about 2 minutes, and they have the money right in their account. You don't even have to leave the house. But if you don't have a Panama bank account, then you'd have to get cash from an ATM machine, and you're going to have to walk into the bank and fill out a deposit slip and put the money into their account.
Yeah, I understand that. Coming from our world of, you know, like you pay rent, you get a receipt. Is there anything like that that happens once you pay, or you just?
Yeah, the bank always gives you a receipt for your deposit. So you just hang on to those bank deposit receipts.
But not if you're giving it directly to the landlord.
Anytime you make a deposit at the bank, they're going to give you a receipt for the deposit, and you just put a note on there that it's for the September rent or the October rent.
Okay.
And if you were to give it directly to the landlord?
If you give it directly to the landlord, which is probably the least likely way, then you're still going to get a receipt, and you should always ask for a receipt.
What I wanted to ask, Jackie, was with everything you said online right now so far, is it possible to fly directly into Panama and get an immediate transfer to David to stay away from Panama?
So right now, today, no, it's not possible because domestic flights have not started again. I believe domestic flights, or in other words, flights from Panama City to David, they're not going to start until, I believe, the 14th of September is the date when those are going to start. So if you time it just right, with your flight in from Canada, you could fly into Panama City to Tacoma International Airport. You just change terminals, get on a plane, and fly to David.
And then they would have to show the documentation in David then, would we? That we have that we're clear of COVID?
Okay. I'm assuming that you're going to have to show it both in Panama City and in David, yes. You're going to have a piece of paper, and you just hang on. Don't ever let anybody keep your piece of paper about your test. You need to always hang on to it or have some copies made of it because you're going to have to show it to get on the plane, to get into Panama, to get on into David.
Yeah, I just want to stay clear of Panama City for, you know, with all the cases, and just bypass that if I can. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, you're very welcome. Next caller is Freeland. Go ahead.
Hey, Jackie. Yeah, glad to see you're out of jail. It's a question later on down the line, but just for information. And I understand that you can transfer money once you get a bank account in Panama. You can transfer money into it. And what's the amount? What's the biggest amount you can transfer or have?
There's no limit on how much money that you can wire into your account in Panama. Of course, some people are wiring enough money to buy a house or to buy a car and things like that. So there's no limit on how much that you can wire into your account. If you're going to write a check to deposit into your account, you can write a check from a U.S. bank to deposit into your Panama bank account, and there's a limit of $3,000 a month for that. But when it comes to wiring money, there's absolutely no limit at all.
Right, yeah, that was my concern was, in other words, once I get down there and I do the year thing and everything, when I go to buy a house, because one of your previous calls, you're talking about there was only a certain amount of money that you could transfer or that Panama would accept, you know.
Yeah. No, there's no limit, absolutely no limit.
Okay, so like if I want to transfer, say if I was going to buy a house, I want to, you know, transfer $120,000, that would not be a problem.
No problem. Or go ahead and send down $500,000 if you want to.
Gotcha. When it comes to the test, is there any specific test that they need to see, or can any of the COVID tests up here work?
What the official notification says that it has to be one of two kinds of tests. One is called the PCR test, which from what I understand takes about 3 or 4 days to get the results from that one. The other one is called an antigen test, which you can usually get those results back in less than an hour. I do know from some people that are in our private community group that have been on a tour already or that purchased the online guide that some states require you to have a doctor's prescription to get the test, and some states do not. Some states you can just go into a CVS pharmacy and you can get the test, or a Walgreens pharmacy and you can get the test. Some states require a doctor's prescription. So I don't know what the rules are in every single state. You might do a Google search for your state and COVID test and see what it says about what the rules are going to be.
Gotcha, fun. Appreciate it. Listen, you have a good weekend and good chatting with you. Talk to you next week.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in, Freeland. Good talking to you.
Good talking.
Next caller is Ricky from the Philippines. How you doing, Ricky?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Good morning. Hey, my question is, okay, without any pandemic, everything's going normal, and for like the pensionado visa, and you need to get your documents like the Social Security form apostilled and marriage certificates and other things like that. My question is, when you get that stuff done, how long is it good for before you have to do it again?
It's good for 6 months.
That's what I needed to know. Okay, thank you so much, and thanks for everything you do.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in today. Next caller is Stephen. Go ahead.
Oh, well, actually, it's Janet, and I'm a newbie, so...
Okay. Hi, Janet.
Here.
Welcome.
Hi.
Welcome to the family.
Thank you. I have a very specific question. In the pensioner's visa, I've read somewhere, and I can't find it again, that you cannot do any business. Does that mean that you would not be able to sell any art that you did or fashion?
So these are the rules. Yeah, these are the rules for the pensionado visa. The pensionado visa, you can own a business, but you're not allowed to work in your business. You're not allowed to sell products. You're not allowed to be working at all. So what some of the artists do that come down here that want to get the pensionado visa is, like I know one lady in particular, she's an amazing artist, and she, some of the restaurants, they will allow you to display your artwork in their restaurant, and then they will sell it for you. So you didn't sell it, you just have it on display, and you've got somebody else that'll sell it, and perhaps they get a commission on everything. But as far as setting up a booth and selling your products, that would not be allowed under the pensionado visa. If you know you want to sell products or sell a service here in Panama, it's really better to go with the Friendly Nation visa. It does cost a little bit more to get the Friendly Nation visa, but then you can get a work permit and you don't have to worry about trying to find someone to sell your products for you. You can do it yourself. The good thing about getting the Friendly Nation visa, you still get all those discounts. So don't worry that, oh, well, I want those discounts from the pensionado visa, because you're still going to get those.
Okay. Could you tell me again the name of the visa that you can have a business in?
Yes, it's called the Friendly Nation visa.
Okay. Thank you.
And if you do a search on my website, on the Panama Relocation Tour website, I have a really good article called the Demystifying Visas or something like that. Another word, demystifying, is in there. And it has the rules for the pensionado visa, rules for the Friendly Nation visa, and what documents and things are required for each of them.
Okay, now here's a second part to this question. Could you send things to another country to be sold, like send things back to the state to a gallery to be sold?
Sure. You can do that. Okay. I can just tell you it's going to be pretty expensive to ship things.
Right.
Out
I do realize that. I do realize
yeah.
that. But it was just...
But if the cost of the profit is big enough, it's worth it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But this is me being very optimistic.
There you go. Well, that's the way we should all be, is optimistic, especially these days.
Yeah. So thank you very much. That's all I have for now. I'm sure I'll be calling again.
Okay. Thank you for calling in today.
Mm-hmm.
Next caller is Jennifer. Go ahead. I believe it says Jennifer. That's what I have on my screen. I've unmuted your line. Are you there? Nope. Next caller is area code 865. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Sherry and Steve Sanders. And we have been online looking at property in Boquete, and I noticed everything there is usually posted by the realtors. Do the owners actually list property as well? Is there anywhere we can see that? Or?
Yeah, if you go on a Facebook Marketplace for the Boquete area, then you're going to have where the individuals have their houses for sale there. If it's Panamanian house, most of those don't even use the internet at all, so they're just going to have a sign out front that says Se Vende. So really you have to just get here and kind of drive around to find some really good deals and talk to some Panamanians and say, this is what I'm looking for. Do you know anybody that has something for sale like that? And they almost always know somebody.
Well, I think someone had told my husband that that if you go through a realtor that it's kind of marked up more.
What kind of percentage or do they mark the house up? Realtor, because I've noticed a big difference between what's
yeah.
on market and
yeah,
and
some of the real estate agents in Panama do that, unfortunately. Some of them don't. Here's an example. Just last week, there's a lady that was here that was looking at a property in Dolega, and she contacted a real estate agent here that showed it to her and told her what the price was. And she really liked the property, but she thought the price was just a little bit high. And the lady went and drove by there just to look at it one more time. And the owner was out in the yard and flagged her down and waved her, and they got to talking. Real estate agent was actually asking $100,000 more than what the person was wanting to sell it for. And that's excessive. That's extreme. You know, usually it's going to be just a little bit more, but some agents don't play that game at all. Some agents do not play that game, but some of them do. So that's why you have to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
The area that you live in, you said it was about 4,600 feet up?
Yeah, my house is at 4,600 feet. It's called the Volcancito area of Boquete. Volcancito.
Okay. We had looked at Vulcan somewhat, and we're bad about not wanting to be with the snakes and bugs either.
Well, and there's a big difference between Vulcan and Volcancito. Vulcan is a completely separate town. It's about an hour and a half away from Boquete. Volcancito is a suburb of Boquete. Volcancito is a suburb of Boquete. And for me, it's 8 minutes to drive to downtown Boquete from my house. So Vulcan and Volcancito are two completely different things.
How do you spell the Cito part
you
of
spell
Vulcan?
Yeah, you spell it for Volcancito, it's Volcancito.
Okay, I got that. And I'm glad I'm glad you're out of jail.
Me too. Me too. It wasn't too bad. Yeah, you know, last night they had Netflix and a bottle of wine, so it wasn't too bad.
Well, I was in there last week, so you liable to sleep in there sometime.
It's the first time I've ever been shut down by Facebook because of a post that I put up there. It was such an innocent post, too. For those of you that don't know what in the world we're talking about, I got a notice. I put up a post on Facebook yesterday of a picture of some N95 masks that were $1.43 at one of the pharmacies here in town, and also they had some face shields for $2, and they had just lots and lots of alcohol that was $1 a bottle for alcohol. And I put that picture up on Facebook, and I said, all these things are readily available in Panama, because I've heard so many people in the United States say, you just can't find those things, but they're readily available here. 1 second later, I got this violation of the community standards thing, and Facebook took my thing down and told me I couldn't post on Facebook for 24 hours because I violated their standards. It's just ridiculous. Anyway, I got out of jail early for good behavior, so now I can post on Facebook again. Okay, next caller is area code 518. Go ahead.
Hello, Jackie. My name is Cliff. I'm in upstate New York. I hope you can hear me.
I can hear you great. Thanks for calling in.
Excellent. Thank you. My question is about accessing mental health services in the country of Panama. Is that an option?
Yes, it's an option. At any of the hospitals, they're going to have psychiatrists, psychologists, and all of those things are readily available. Also, any medications that you might need to control any issues, those are all readily available as well.
What about psychologists, counseling?
Yeah, that's available.
Excellent.
Definitely.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your answer. Thank you.
You're welcome. Next caller is Carol. Go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Not very well. Let me turn up the volume a little bit. Okay, let's try it again. Go ahead.
Okay, I hope you can hear me. Thank you very much for taking my call. I have three real quick questions for you. The first two have to do with renting a place long term. Number one, do the landlords allow you to personalize the space? In other words, to paint if you don't like the colors?
Some landlords will allow you to personalize the property. They don't care what you do with it so long as you pay your rent on time. Other landlords will say, no, you can't paint anything at all. And then some landlords are going to say, well, you can paint it, but I need to approve the paint color first. So there's not just one right answer to that question.
Okay, thank you. Second question is, I do notice in a lot of the photographs for real estate that there are no screens on the windows, and I wondered if screening is available in hardware stores or whatever, and if landlords allow you to put screening in the windows yourself.
Actually, the majority of any rentals that are over, I would say, $500 a month are all going to have screens on the window. And just like my previous question, some landlords will say no problem to add screens, and some will say we don't want you to. So it's just an individual thing. But majority of homes that are over $500 a month are probably going to have some screens.
Awesome. One last real quick question. I have bad hips and bad knees, and I have an adjustable bed. And I know that you have said don't bring any furniture down here. Can you buy adjustable beds down there? Do they have them?
Yes, they have. Yeah, I have adjustable beds available here.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I won't take up any more of your time. You are awesome.
Thank you so much for calling in, Carol. Next caller, it says King.
Hi, Jackie. This is Cindy. I have kind of two questions. One, I wanted you to talk just a little bit about the garbage service and if there's limits on garbage. And the second thing is, what do you do down there for maybe broken pieces of furniture or something larger that you're trying to dispose of? Or do they have a Goodwill for used furniture? Or how does that work in Panama?
So for a garbage collection, if you're in a gated community, many of the gated communities have garbage pickup twice a week. Most other places, like where I live, we only have garbage pickup once a week. Mine comes on Monday. And you have to get a little permit for them to come and pick up your and display the permit so that they know you've paid the fee, which is like, I think it's $2 a month. It might be $3 a month to have your garbage picked up, and there's no limit. However, everything they pick up needs to be in a bag or they won't pick it up. As far as broken furniture and things, if you were to sit it out by your trash can, it would disappear overnight. You wouldn't even have to worry about hauling it anywhere. But there's not a Goodwill or anything like that. There are some consignment stores. There's places that do reupholstery that they might take your furniture and fix it up, and then they could turn around and resell it. But most of the people in Panama, they don't get rid of stuff. They just fix it and keep on using it.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And my next caller is Malcolm. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Jackie. My question is related to aged health care and what the present situation is and the capacity in the Boque David area, and what you feel will there be pressure on that capacity in the next 10 or 15 years as requirements may increase and maybe even explode.
So you're talking about the population?
Well, I'm talking about there's a community of retirees that are going to be another 10 or 15 years older by 2030, 2035, and their requirements may increase. And put a
right, so as people get older, yes, yeah. Some people decide to move back to whatever country that they're from to be closer to their family to help them out as they get older, if they get to the point where they can't take care of themselves. The majority of people want to stay right here. Now, home health care is readily available in Panama. There's also some assisted living or nursing homes that are available, but not very many of them. It would be a really big opportunity for anybody that wanted to get into the assisted living business. I think you'd have a booming business if you did that. But one of the things about expats that I've discovered since being one is that many people stay in one place forever, like that me. I'm gonna be here forever. Other people like to experience one country and culture for 3 to 5 years, then they move to another country for 3 to 5 years, and they move to a different country for 3 to 5 years. So, you know, there's not just one expat diagram that says this is what all the expats do, because everybody's just a little bit different. But if you moved here and you got to the point where you needed some help, help is available through home health care. We also have a Boquete Health and Hospice. Like if you had to have hip surgery and you just needed someone to help you out for a while, that's available. It doesn't even cost anything. And then the assisted living and nursing homes, there's limited availability of those, but they are available.
And how expensive is it?
So for an assisted living, it's about $750 to $1,000 a month, and that includes your meals.
Okay.
Home health care would depend on if they were going to come 3 times a week or every single day, and if they were live-in or not. Live-in home health care is going to be $800 to $1,000 a month. If you just had someone that was going to come and, you know, perhaps help with housework and change sheets on the bed and do the laundry and clean the house and do some grocery shopping for you, you could probably get that down to about $300 or $400 a month.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks for your call. And next caller is James. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is James in Atlanta. How are you today?
Great. Thanks for calling in.
Yes. So my wife and I have two questions. Earlier you were talking about the minimum numbers of days to stay at an Airbnb. Is there any effect on the hotels as far as a limited or a maximum amount of days?
No. No, there's been no change at all with the hotels. You can just stay one night if you want to.
Okay. And then the other question is, you pay $102 a month for health insurance in Panama.
And that's right.
I'm trying to understand what the benefits of paying that versus just doing the public or government's health insurance, which is free.
Well, I can tell you that even though I'm paying $102 a month, I probably see a doctor maybe once or twice a year. I don't take any medications. I'm very, very healthy, so I don't do it. So the whole reason of having insurance is what if something catastrophic happened? If I need to go see a doctor, I'm just going to pay the $12 and I'm going to go see a doctor. Or I could go to the public hospital and pay the $2 to see a doctor there. But if I got cancer, if I had a stroke, if I was in an automobile accident in the hospital for an extended period of time, that's what the insurance is for. Insurance isn't really like you use it in North America where you have to flip out that insurance card every single time you see a doctor. We don't do that here. When you're seeing a doctor and it's $2, you just pay it, or $12, you just pay it. You don't even use your insurance card. So the insurance is just for, you know, what if I damaged my shoulder and needed to have shoulder surgery, or had to have my knees replaced, or any of those more expensive things.
Okay, thank you very much.
But I can also tell you that a lot of people, I would say probably the majority of people that are here in Panama, they don't pay for insurance. They just use the public hospital where it's so much more affordable to get anything done. Because even at $102 a month, that adds up. For $1,000 a year, that'll cover a whole lot of surgery at a public hospital.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Next caller is 850. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Yvonne in Florida. Jackie, I so much appreciate what you're doing. It's helped me so much. This is my second time listening to one of these conference calls. So thank you.
And, you're welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Sure. I was wondering, I had a couple of questions, if it's okay, if you have time.
Sure.
Does the minimum stay requirement that you said they've now put in apply to hostels?
No. Hostels and hotels do not have a minimum stay required. At least they don't. Only at condo complexes.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I didn't understand that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. So then if the tours come back online, the group tours, is there, I guess part of the what you pay for is the hotel in that thing, right?
Right, the hotel's included, and we already have contracts with all the hotels, so we can stay one night at the hotels that we're staying at, so that's not a problem.
Okay, and then I was thinking it's great to know that they're requiring testing instead of, you know, not letting people fly in, so that's great.
Yeah,
but
what it used to be, you had to have a test and you had to do a 14-day quarantine. So that really made it impossible for us to do a tour. So now that they only require tests, we need to start planning on when and how, coordinating it with hotels and restaurants and everybody else, and when we can start doing tours again.
Sure, that's a lot to do. I can't wait till you've done it. You're doing all the hard work. So I was wondering, what if, you know, we are lucky enough to go and then, you know, God forbid, I come down with symptoms. I mean, if you think you have COVID and you're visiting, is there any protocol that the government requires? And then what's the access to health care if you're just there on a temporary visiting visa?
We had to get special permission from the health department for us to start doing tours again, and we've already gotten all that special permission. We had to fill a lot of paperwork. They've assigned certain protocols that we have to do every day during the tour. Part of those protocols is that you have to step in a little disinfectant thing before you get on the bus. We have to take your temperature before you get on the bus and provide hand sanitizer or alcohol for everybody. to wear on the bus. And whether it's a private tour or a group tour, those things have to be done. So if you came to get on a tour and you had an elevated temperature, we're not allowed to let you on the bus. But we could get you transportation to the closest hospital who could do testing. And, you know, maybe you just had a flu bug or something and it wasn't COVID, it just for whatever reason. So once you got stabilized, then you could join the tour again.
And then if it were COVID, would they then quarantine me? And if it went beyond the time that the tour I would just come up with the money to stay there.
Yeah. If it was COVID, then they would definitely quarantine you. And if your symptoms were severe enough, they'd put you in the hospital. If your symptoms were not very severe, then they have what they call COVID hospitals at certain hospitals here. It's a hotel. It's a regular hotel that they've converted into a hospital, and you would have to stay in that hotel room for 14 days. They'd provide food. There's nurses and doctors checking on you constantly, but they would either do that, or if you had something that you'd rented as a place to stay, then they would come and check on you there.
Oh, really? But that probably wouldn't apply to the hotel room on the tour because I'd have to leave.
You couldn't stay at the hotel room on the tour, no. There's only certain hotels where you could stay. No place where there would be other people. It'd have to be an individual house or individual apartment where there's no other people around, or what they call the COVID hotels. You could stay there.
I wonder how much those are, do you know, like what the cost of that is for 14 days? Just so I would be prepared.
I have no idea what the cost would be. I can tell you if you stay at the public hospital, it's $10 a day.
So it probably wouldn't be more than that? Or
probably be about that price, yep.
And then you'd have to think about food. I wonder if there's a way to find out what
they feed
you. What would be involved if you did have to go through that, you know?
Yeah, your food's included in that.
Oh, my goodness. $10 a day, like in a hospital?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So maybe you'd plan for spending $20 a day for 14 days just to have a cushion in case that happens.
Just have
sounds
a cushion.
Like it would be a good
or
idea.
Bring a debit card so you can get some money out of an ATM machine if you need to.
Yeah. Okay. And then I was also wondering, thank you.
But, you know, the other thing that I would recommend, if you're concerned about coming to Panama and perhaps getting COVID while you're in Panama, it might be too soon to be doing traveling because you're going to be at an international airport before you ever come here. You're going to be in an airplane with 100 or 200 other people. They're going to require you to wear a mask and then being in the country. And, you know, if you're concerned about perhaps getting COVID someplace else and not being home, it might be too soon to be doing traveling. It might be better to wait till things settle down a little bit more before you do any traveling. I can tell you, me personally, I'd love to go see my kids in Texas right now, but I'm not willing to get on an airplane and go travel anywhere right now. I'm just not ready for that yet. Okay, next caller is area code 707. Go ahead.
Hi. So my question is, you had said that the beach is from Boquete is about an hour away. Is it a
hour
surfable
and a half,
beach?
Hour and a half away, yeah.
Is it a surfable beach? I mean, do they surf down there?
No, not at that beach. Well, you could do like a boogie board. The waves are not going to be very big. It's a boogie board kind of thing.
Yeah, or a paddle board. That's
paddle board, right, but not really and even stand-up paddleboard, but it's not going to be surfing like you see. You're going to have to go to either Chame or Santa Catalina for that. And Chame is 6 hours away, and Santa Catalina is about 5 hours away. Or you could go to Bocas, which is a three-hour drive and then a 40-minute water taxi on the Caribbean side.
Okay, great. Thanks.
You're welcome. Next caller is Sharon. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. I have not heard anybody talk about the humidity in Panama, and I know I'm living in Maryland, and the humidity here is brutal, especially in the summertime when we have 90-degree weathers. And I just wondered how you are tolerating the humidity.
I come from Texas, where I know humidity, and the humidity in Panama is nothing compared to what it was in Texas. It doesn't bother me at all here. Now, of course, if it pours down rain, I make sure and close up my windows to not let that humidity in the house. Unless I'm by the beach areas, the humidity up in the mountains just doesn't really bother me.
Great. Thank you
so much.
It's
much less than it was in Texas. Next caller is Tina. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. Question, does it make sense for us to rent a vehicle in Panama City or to fly to DaVita and rent a vehicle?
It depends on what you want to accomplish when you're in Panama. If you want to drive all over the country and crisscross around and see a whole bunch of different places, then you might want to rent a car in either Panama City or Coronado and take that trip and see a lot of different areas. If you know that you want to focus on the Chiriquí province and Bocan and Boquete and Puerto Nuevas and places on the Chiriquí province, and you're not really interested in visiting the other places in the country, then it makes much more sense to either fly to DaVita or take the bus to DaVita and rent your car in Chiriquí province. So that would be in DaVita is where you would fly into. But then that includes Boquete, Volcan, David, Las Lajas Beach, Puerto Nuevas, Concepcion, Boca Chica, a lot of different places to see just in that one province. But then you can save yourself that seven-hour trip from Panama City to get over to Chiriquí province.
Okay. And during the holidays, are businesses open? I know hotels and restaurants, but other businesses, if you want to do some excursions, would they be available during the holidays?
Well, I can tell you that November is a big holiday month. We have Independence Day from Spain and Independence Day from Colombia. And typically, we have some big parades and big gatherings. I'm not sure they're going to have those this year. My guess is they will not. They haven't said anything about that yet. But businesses like restaurants, hotels, excursion tours, all those things are definitely going to be open even during the holidays.
Okay.
And yeah, they've been shut down since March, many of these things, and they're not going to close down just because it's a holiday. They want as much business as they can get.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Jackie.
Thank you for calling in. Next caller is area code 984. Go ahead.
Hello, my name is Adrienne Hicks, and I am so excited. My goal,
I'm excited that you called in. Thank you.
Yes, and Jackie, I heard about you over 16 years ago and from a friend. His name is Robert, and I thought he was crazy for wanting to move to Panama. And he spoke very highly of you, and so now it is 15 years later, and I get it.
There you go.
I want to move to Boquete. I have two questions. The first one is the climate I'm looking for. I heard about the microclimates is about 75 degrees. What part of Boquete would I be looking at?
So if you want to keep it at 75 degrees during the daytime, you're going to need to go up to a little bit higher elevation. Downtown Boquete, also called Baja Boquete, is at about 3,500 feet. The daytime temperatures there are going to be around 80 degrees. So the rule of thumb in Panama, for every 1,000 feet increase in elevation, the temperature drops 4 degrees. So if you want it to be at 75, you're going to need to go up to about 4,500 feet. My house is at 4,600 feet. But it's easy to do because we have so many different communities. Like you could go to Palo Alto, you could go to Alto Lino, you could go to Volcancito, you can go to just a lot of different areas. Alto Kiel would be up even higher, but you could go to many different communities and have that daytime temperature of 75. But to get that temperature, you're going to need to be at about 4,500 feet in elevation.
And how far is that from downtown Boquete?
8-minute drive.
Awesome.
or a 45-minute hike. There's also buses that go by all these different neighborhoods that I've talked about, and you can take a bus for about $1 to get into town.